In 2004, New Scientist magazine published an open letter to the scientific community in which 33 leading scientists blasted the Big Bang. Their strongly worded letter included statements like, "The Big Bang today relies on a growing number of hypothetical entities, things that we have never observed. Without them, there would be a fatal contradiction between the observations made by astronomers and the predictions of the Big Bang theory. But the Big Bang theory can't survive without these fudge factors. An open exchange of ideas is lacking in most mainstream conferences, and doubt and dissent are not tolerated." With such growing dissension from secular scientists, it's unfortunate that many Christian leaders have embraced the Big Bang, especially when there are so many contradictions between it and the Bible's account of creation in Genesis. And Genesis is the word of the Creator who witnessed creation, unlike any scientist.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
When most people hear the word explosion, they often think of destroyed buildings and injured people. But geologists have long recognized a different type of explosion in Earth's sedimentary rocks, known as the Cambrian explosion. Cambrian rocks are a group of rocks found around the world in which we find fossils of many of the major animal groups. This is significant because pre-Cambrian rocks found below the Cambrian don't generally contain much fossil material, but then in the Cambrian there are fossils in abundance. In fact, this transition is so dramatic that some call it the Cambrian Big Bang. But probably the most devastating impact of the Cambrian explosion is the damage it does to evolutionary ideas, even with evolutionary dating notions. Since most major animal groups appeared suddenly in the fossil record without ancestors, the idea that all life evolved slowly over time becomes very hard to swallow.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
What sort of geological event could transport large boulders over 300 miles? This confronts geologists when they study the plateaus of northwestern USA and western Canada. Throughout these regions, there are many hard quartzite boulders. However, the nearest source of quartzite rocks is at least 300 miles away. Some have suggested an ancient river might have carried the boulders, but calculations suggest the water would need to have been over 200 feet deep and traveling faster than 60 miles per hour. This suggests a geological catastrophe far exceeding a local flash flood. So, how did the boulders get there? The Bible provides a compelling answer. During the recessive stage of the flood, tremendous currents would have scoured the continents, transporting many boulders vast distances. This also explains why many of these boulders have marks, testifying to violent collisions during transportation. Thus, the Bible provides the answer to a geological mystery.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In 2008, the BBC produced a controversial documentary on the harmful effects of pedigree dog shows. According to the documentary, many dog breeders are causing dangerous levels of inbreeding. This results in dogs with crippling genetic deformities. One RSPCA vet said, "What I see in front of me is a parade of mutants. It's some freakish, garish beauty pageant." Most of our domestic varieties have numerous problems due to harmful mutations, and the inbreeding involved in maintaining breed purity tends to amplify these defects further. The changes we see in dogs today give no support to evolutionary expectations. After dogs originated from an ancestral wolf-type creature, their genomes have undergone mutational decay. Their genomes have suffered information corruption and loss, but not the creation of new genetic information that evolution needs to be believable as a mechanism for changing microbes into mangoes, mutts, and man.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Over three chapters, the book of Genesis vividly describes a worldwide flood that began with all the fountains of the great deep bursting forth and the floodgates of heaven being opened. The reality of Noah's flood is the crux of the conflict between evolutionary and biblical worldviews. If this global deluge really happened, then the millions of years of Earth history and evolutionary progression supposedly seen in the fossil record are swept away. The flood accounts for the major geological features and the vast majority of the fossil record. Indeed, the fossils themselves are a mute testimony to the truth of the flood. We find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the Earth. Just what you would expect from the biblical account. If Christians were to believe and effectively defend the biblical account of the flood, then the basis for the evolutionary worldview would largely collapse. Many people would be saved from such a great pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
If all of humanity descended from Adam and Eve, as the Bible teaches, how is it possible that people have different blood types today? An answer comes from basic genetics. Unlike other traits that are controlled by multiple genes, the A, B, and O blood types are controlled by a single gene. However, this gene comes in three slightly different versions, known as alleles, and this is why we have these three possible major blood types. When God created Adam and Eve, He could have created them with great genetic variety. This means Adam and Eve could have possessed all three alleles between them. However, blood type O appears to be due to a mutated or damaged version of blood type A allele, which suggests it arose later in human history. This means Adam and Eve would only need to possess the A and B alleles between them. So the origin of blood types is consistent with the Bible's history.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Did you know that germs in your intestines have sophisticated machines inside of them? Like all living things, E. coli bacteria contain DNA, which requires sophisticated machinery to read the DNA and turn the information into proteins, which are the major components of all living things. One of the key machines involved is the ribosome. According to the world's leading science journal, Nature, the ribosome, together with its accessories, is probably the most sophisticated machine ever made. All of its components are active and moving, and it is environmentally friendly. Ribosomes, however, are not just stunning examples of nanotechnology. They also seriously undermine the idea that life arose spontaneously. Life is not possible without ribosomes. So, if a hypothetical first living cell arose spontaneously, this means ribosomes must have arisen spontaneously also. Call me a skeptic if you like, but the idea that sophisticated machines can arise without a designer sounds like a fairy tale.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In 1947, a crash landing occurred in Roswell, New Mexico that people still talk about. According to many UFO believers, aliens from another world crash landed their flying saucer, and the US government has tried to cover it up ever since. This claim was given impetus with the release of a 1995 documentary that claimed to show genuine footage of autopsies on aliens that were recovered from the crash site. But the credibility of this film experienced its own crash landing when one of the actors paid to take part in the documentary publicly confessed it was a hoax. So what really did happen at Roswell? Well, 1947 was the beginning of the Cold War, and the USA was secretly monitoring the Soviets via weather-type balloons with specialized monitoring equipment. When one crashed on a ranch at Roswell, they wanted to keep things secret so that the Soviets didn't know they were being spied upon.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
What's the connection between the Bible's history and spiny plant fossils buried deep in the fossil record? Well, from a biblical perspective, thorns arose after the first humans sinned, at the time called the Fall. Therefore, these plants with thorns must have lived and been fossilized after the Fall. However, according to conventional geology, these fossils are in so-called Devonian rocks, which are allegedly over 360 million years old. Does this mean that the Bible's history regarding thorns is wrong? No. The problem is that conventional geology ignores how the global flood of Noah profoundly affected Earth's sedimentary rock record. Such a cataclysm would have laid down vast sedimentary layers, including the ones deep in the fossil record containing thorns, after the Fall. The fossil record, therefore, is not a record of evolutionary Earth history, but is mostly the result of the biblical flood and its aftermath. Therefore, the Bible is correct when it tells us that thorns arose after the Fall.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Rise of the Planet Apes is a recent Hollywood movie that depicts a fictitious world ruled by advanced apes. Through cutting-edge computer graphics, producers have created apes that possess many human-like qualities. One of the techniques they've used to make the apes more human-like is quite simple. One of the distinctive features of human eyes is our white sclera. Apes, however, do not have whites in their eyes. Their sclera is brown or black. This might sound like a subtle difference, but if an artist depicts an ape with a white sclera, they look much more human. Indeed, this technique has been used for years to indoctrinate the public with alleged evolutionary ancestors. There is no fossil evidence for eye color. So, when an artist draws an alleged ape man ancestor with whites in its eyes, that's purely based on speculation. National Geographic magazine has been using this trick for years. Who knows how many people have been fooled by it?
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Scientists have just found out what you always wanted to know. Why do fingernails, when nibbled or torn, tend to tear across the nail rather than downwards towards the nail bed? Well, by analysing nails under the electron microscope, the reason became clear. Nails are made of three layers containing the protein keratin. The keratin fibres have a specific arrangement that prevents breaks from running down the nail and also gives the nail tremendous strength. Without this arrangement, according to one of the researchers, every tear would damage our nail bed, inflicting great pain and incurring infection. A similar pattern is seen in horses' hooves, which is just as well, because if cracks were to run upwards instead of across in a horse's hoof, it could lead to infection, lameness, and death. How could anyone say that this crucial design feature of hooves and fingernails has come about by accident? The evidence surely shouts designer.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Some people have claimed that our third molars, commonly referred to as wisdom teeth, often cause trouble in modern humans because our mouths are smaller than our supposed evolutionary ancestors. However, impacted wisdom teeth don't afflict all ethnic groups. Numerous people groups today have plenty of room in their jaws to accommodate their third molars. Modern dental research has shown that diet is a major factor in jaw development. In non-technological cultures, impacted wisdom teeth are almost unknown. Their tougher diet exercises their jaw muscles more, and this helps their jaws develop properly. The tougher diet also results in tooth wear, and the normal compensation for this wear involves the gradual migration of teeth towards the front of the mouth, thus creating more room for the third molars. However, the modern diet of soft, processed foods does not promote proper jaw development, which can lead to impacted wisdom teeth. So, impacted wisdom teeth do not support evolutionary storytelling.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
When scientists announced the discovery of the Wollemi pine in Australia in 1994, it caused a sensation. Some reported that it was like finding a living dinosaur because the tree was only known from fossils in Jurassic rocks. That would make it extinct for 150 million years by evolutionary reckoning. Finds like this are actually quite common. When something that scientists thought became extinct millions of years ago is found alive, it's called a living fossil. But living fossils pose a problem for evolution, since the organism hasn't changed, it brings into question the supposed millions of years age as well as the very idea of evolution. When a tree was planted in London recently, Sir David Attenborough said, "It is romantic, I think, that something has survived 200 million years unchanged." Well, perhaps he considers it romantic, but I find the millions of years of evolution very hard to believe.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Abraham's life left a legacy in many different ways, but have you ever stopped to consider the legacy of his Y chromosome? The Y chromosome is unique to men. Fathers pass it on to their sons. So according to the Bible, Abraham would have passed it on to Isaac, then to Jacob, whose descendants gave rise to the Jewish nation. Abraham also passed his Y chromosome to Ishmael, through whom Arab nations have come. A recent study of Y chromosomes in Jewish and Arab men strongly supports the biblical account that they are all descended from one man. The results, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences USA, revealed remarkable similarity between the Y chromosomes of Jewish and Arab male populations. The results prompted one of the researchers to say, "Jews and Arabs are all really children of Abraham." I'm not surprised. Are you?
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Stromatolites are regarded by many as the oldest fossils on Earth. They are interpreted as the remains of colonies of blue-green algae, or more accurately, cyanobacteria. The oldest ones are claimed to be 3.5 billion years old. Within this evolutionary perspective, one would expect these colonies to have radically changed, but remarkably, they are essentially the same today. Stromatolites, therefore, are classic examples of living fossils. Living fossils cause major problems for evolution because they provide stunning examples of how evolution hasn't occurred. They also call into question the evolutionary time frame. Some people try to downplay the significance of living fossils by arguing that when something is well adapted to its environment, it doesn't need to change. But this would need the environment to be constant for the supposed period of time. This argument cannot apply to stromatolites, because during 3.5 billion years of alleged evolutionary time, many radical environment changes supposedly occurred, including the arrival of new predators and parasites.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Many people think that the biblical flood of Noah was abandoned because of the evidence. However, history tells a different story. Modern geological thought owes much to a man named Charles Lyell. Lyell, a lawyer, published a book in 1830 called Principles of Geology. Described as a masterpiece of persuasion, it changed the way people thought about Earth's past. According to Lyell, we should only appeal to today's geological processes to explain Earth history. However, this approach meant that the global flood recorded in the Bible was automatically ruled out of consideration. Lyell wanted, he wrote, to free the science of geology from Moses. Regrettably, many people have uncritically adopted Lyell's philosophy without considering how Noah's flood can help us understand Earth history. Lyell changed the way many people think, but his approach was motivated by his anti-biblical philosophy. Indeed, it is very difficult to explain Earth's history without Noah's flood.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
How do fish survive in Antarctic waters without freezing? The answer is that their blood plasma has lots of antifreeze protein that bind to ice and prevent the crystals from growing and thus causing damage. Some evolutionists claim that this is an example of evolution in action because new DNA code has been created that codes for the antifreeze protein. But does this really support molecules to man evolution? Antifreeze proteins are quite different from the complex, specific proteins found elsewhere in the fish or in our own bodies. They are simple proteins which may have arisen through the duplication of a digestive enzyme gene that lost its original function due to mutations scrambling it. Even though they fortuitously prevent ice crystals from growing, this is a very non-specific job that many different random proteins could perform. So, even though antifreeze proteins help fish survive, they don't explain how complex specific proteins could arise by mutations.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
When you consider the 206 bones in your body, a humble toe bone does not seem that significant. But in July 2001, Time magazine ran a cover story where a single toe bone was the star attraction. The article featured a recent fossil discovery from Ethiopia, which allegedly showed how mankind's ape-like ancestors first stood up on two legs. Readers were told, "Meet your newfound ancestor, a chimp-like forest creature that stood up and walked 5.8 million years ago." Remarkably, however, they based their claim that this creature walked upright and was supposedly our ancestor on the shape of a single toe bone. What's more, they found the toe bone over 16 kilometers from the rest of the fossil material used in the reconstruction. The article was titled "One Giant Step for Mankind," but maybe it should have been "One Giant Leap in Speculation."
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Does the human Y chromosome suggest that men are headed for extinction? In 2003, an Oxford University geneticist claimed that the human Y chromosome was crumbling before our very eyes and that the demise of men was imminent. Since this time, other researchers have pointed out that these doomsday predictions were overstated. For instance, the Y chromosome has a unique mechanism for correcting harmful mutations. Nevertheless, the Y chromosome certainly shows signs of overall decay, as do the other chromosomes. Human genetic decay is a real phenomenon, but it flies in the face of evolutionary ideas. According to evolutionists, all the complex coded information in our genomes supposedly arose through a slow accumulation of random changes called mutations. However, what we see with the Y chromosome is that such natural processes consistently degrade the genetic instructions as opposed to create them. Since the time of Adam, we live in a decaying world, just as the Bible says.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Atheists in the United Kingdom have launched a public campaign to preach their message of unbelief by using advertising space on public buses. These buses are emblazoned with the slogan, "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." Some people find this slogan rather odd. If these atheists are so confident God doesn't exist, why does the slogan say, "There's probably no God"? Atheists have responded by pointing out that they can't say, "There's no God," because that would be taking a faith position. But perhaps even more puzzling is the second part of the slogan that reads, "Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." This prompted one journalist, skeptical of religious belief, to write, "What on earth is there to celebrate? We're talking about death, about not existing, being wiped out forever, and it can happen any time. If that's not cause for worry, what is?" It appears atheism is devoid of answers and devoid of hope.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Most people have experienced the frustration of failing to find a location because they've been given confusing directions. But even though humans can often be hopeless at giving directions, the humble honeybee manages to give excellent directions, even though it does so in a very unusual way. Scientists have long known that when honeybees discover a new food source, they return to the hive and perform a special dance that remarkably informs the other bees where to find the food. But this dancing mode of communication is so complicated that it took Austrian naturalist Carl von Frisch 20 years to decipher it. Since complicated dance routines require the planning and forethought of an intelligent choreographer, wouldn't it be reasonable to conclude that a super intelligent mind programmed the bees with this remarkable form of communication?
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
If Arnold Schwarzenegger had a pet cow, I can almost guarantee it would be a Belgian Blue. These cows are incredibly muscled and have very little fat. Many people think of this breed as evolution in action because a mutation in its DNA has brought about a supposed improvement. But if microbes really did turn into Belgian Blue cows, which is what evolution teaches, this would require the addition of lots of new DNA information to turn the relatively simple genome of a bacteria into the vastly more complicated genome of a cow. However, in the case of Belgian Blue cows, we see the opposite, because no new information has been added. In fact, a mutation has corrupted the myostatin gene, which normally stops muscles growing too big. So, information has been lost. The cows have lost control over muscle growth. So, Belgian Blue cows have devolved, not evolved.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Have you ever wondered what sort of evidence would convince an atheist that the universe was designed? Scott Todd from Kansas State University gave a startling answer. Even if all the data pointed to an intelligent designer, such an hypothesis is excluded from science because it is not naturalistic. Well, candid admissions like this show us that some people will reject a designer no matter what the evidence. But recognizing design has long been a part of science. When an archaeologist finds an artifact like a piece of pottery, he knows immediately that it was designed by someone, even though he can't see the designer. So if design has no place in science, archaeologists are in serious trouble. Forensic science, who killed who, is also about recognizing the evidence of intelligent agency, proving that it was no accident. But when the evidence in science points to God being the intelligent designer, never.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.